This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Now I want to bring in Jake Zweig. We spoke to him earlier this morning. He's a former Navy SEAL and a combat swimmer. When we started the morning, Jake, we were talking about how the plan was to bring them out, the boys, one by one over many hours. Now it's obviously happening more rapidly, and I'm seeing reports online that they're trying to bring the boys out now, actually, two by two. What does that tell you about this operation?
One, they probably got squeezed for time. But let's be honest, that's what happens when you put the best and the brightest on a problem. You know, they underpromised and they're overperforming.
Absolutely. You know, I asked a friend of mine who's done a lot of diving in some complex situations what would scare him the most in this situation. He said visibility. Cave water is looking muddy. You got zero visibility environment. Even with a guide rope, it's going to freak out a kid and cause panic. Full face mask is very smart, but if the water, because the water's muddy. But then anything that gets a little twisted or hung up is really hard to unravel, and no ability to communicate with that kid or other divers. Talk about what it's like to be in that murky environment. You can't see. The kid can't see. Let's say his foot gets cut or stuck on something. You know, walk us through how you manage a situation like that.
So, I mean, let's just be honest. They've got people staged at all the places that are going to give them problems. They're not just rolling dice that somebody's going to squeeze through that narrow passageway and make it on their own. They probably got guys there to face the contingency, right? They're not just going to let the kid, you know, struggle on his own. So, you know,
the variable there is panic. The variable there is a kid that panics, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he panics, they're little. There's not much they're going to be able to do. They're going to get drug out. So, you know.
But you also think they have not been eating much over the last 2 weeks. Malnutrition. I mean, these boys are small to begin with. Jake, you are a former Navy SEAL. We had you on earlier in the show, and you compared this to climbing Mount Everest. You think about that and the situation they're in, plus the pressure of just not knowing how you're going to get out of this thing, if you're going to get out alive, with these boys who don't even know how to swim. So to climb Mount Everest without doing any training beforehand, as we're watching this footage and seeing these pictures with inside this cave, walk our viewers through what they are experiencing likely right at this moment with these boys.
Well, I mean, it's like I said before, you know, there's stages to the climb, but let's be honest, we got six out, we got seven more to go or six more to go. You know, getting down off of Mount Everest is just as dangerous as getting up it. So, you know, they're going through right now, they're probably terrified. Either that or they're completely relaxed. One of the two extremes, more than likely, because they're not going to be able to see anything. So it's going to be like being in a dark closet, you know, in the water, not knowing where you're going, not knowing what's happening. They've talked them through it probably four or five times at this point. They had some practice dives in the cave. You know, they got an understanding kind of what they're going to experience, but they don't know how long it's going to be. The other thing is there's breaks in between where they've got to get out and walk.
Yeah.
So they're not underwater for that whole time, which is probably a break for them. You know, and after they get done with that first dive and they get to the first bit of air where they get to come up and breathe, I'm sure they're going to, you know, breathe a sigh of relief and be a lot better off.
Kids are enduring what they have endured for the fortnight. Of course, great news that five were rescued yesterday. Even as we're talking right now, they're in the midst of going after the remaining four and the coach. Can you imagine what they must go through? I mean, here it is. They're swimming as the Navy SEAL had described, swimming in the dark, like in a closet, and you don't know. And as Pete Hicks has said, you could get a foot caught. Anything could happen there. But, of course, in those treacherous areas, as well as the Navy SEAL had had explained, they've probably got people, scouts already in those rough areas to help guide them through those problematic areas. Not a simple task, much more harrowing than we realize, and we continue to pray for the remaining survivors there in that cave trap.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Hey, we're back with you, America. Glad you could share a part of your day with us. Good to have you along with us as we bring on the experts that pursue the truth no matter where it leads, and best-selling authors on top of that. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. And if you want to drop me an email, always love to hear from you. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. We've got a new book, Lighting the Way, speaking of authors, that gives hope to, and the scholar says, the scholar of Return to Order says it is possible. It's an exciting new book addressing the restoration of America's moral compass. And that's just been released. The new book, as I mentioned, Lighting the Way, Stories That Show How Our Culture Went Wrong and How We Can Restore Order, co-authored by John Horvath II and Norman Fulkerson. And with us right now, John Horvath. John, how you doing?
Great. Great to be back on the show.
Well, good to have you here to talk about your new book. We've been anticipating this the last time you and I had a conversation. You said coming soon, and here it is, Lighting the Way. Tell us about it.
Yeah, Lighting the Way, it's a book written by Norman Fulkerson, a colleague of mine. And it sort of began this way, that I wrote a book called Return to Order, which talks about a lot of very, very important principles of action for, you know, for America. But people like examples and stories. So I got together with him, and we put together a lot of really interesting stories and essays that will sort of flesh out the principles found in Return to Order. It's a standalone volume that can, you know, stand alone outside of Return to Order, but it is a companion volume which just really says, look, these kind of things which I've talked about before are possible because we've done it before, we're doing it now, can be done in the future.
Well, you know, are we at that point to where we are accepting, and when I say accepting, maybe the word is more acknowledging that America is lost. What is your pulse on that, John?
Well, definitely we need to light the way, because the way is very dark at this point. And so that's why I think it's necessary to have examples, you know, to show people, well, you know, it can be done, that order is possible in our society despite the darkness, that they, you know, there are certain people that are lighting the way, and that, you know, we could follow. It's something that's doable. It's not just, you know, cursing the darkness.
Exactly. Well, and we're hearing every day of increasing animosity that would say, look at, we're embracing the darkness. It's okay. Nothing to fear. And they become rather combative in any kind of restoration to order, as we're seeing, you know, people chasing down administration officials from the Trump administration, whether they're at dinner or to see a movie. If you support Donald Trump, then, you know, Maxine Waters is saying you got to let him know, you got to chase him down and let him know. Maybe if we put enough pressure on him, they'll stop participating with, you know, this idea that America can return to order.
Well, yeah, I mean, in this book, I also talk about, you know, where we want to go and where we don't want to go. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely the two sides are there. And many times by showing the contrast, you know, people say, oh, wow, yeah, we don't want to go in that direction. And mm-hmm. so I have stories about that as well. You know, stories of, you know, crazy things that are going on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and how, you know, there is a certain reaction to them because people do react to crazy things. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people wearing pajamas in public or college students using crayons. You know, these are stories that are in the book that say, oh, look, we don't want to go that direction. Mm-hmm. Here's where we do want to go.
Well, you know, philosophically, you know, we've got a lot of young people embracing socialistic ideas. I mean, you know, and we saw them following the Bernie Sanders crowd. And but then when you had a one-on-one conversation with them, most of them had no idea what socialism represented, what socialism historically has produced. They're just, you know, they think surf's up and, hey, they're following the waves here.
It is. I mean, it is true. And they have, and that is the part of the darkness of our society and why we need to have our way lighted. Because, you know, many times if these people are exposed to things that are good or true or beautiful or things that, you know, that excite them or to make them, understand better, you know, where, what reality in life is, they will appear to them quite easily. You know, in fact, one of the stories in the book tells the story of one time when I was on a plane and talked to a young millennial, and we did the normal conversation, you know, of a liberal person and a conservative person, and I was amazed to find out at how, you know, how little foundations they have for their beliefs. And mm-hmm. at the end, it actually came out pretty well, as the story shows.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and I think, you know, this is the beauty of our First Amendment, that we have the right to free speech, which gives us equal standing. Although,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we do have that right to free speech, and it's unfortunately there's a lot of people who are not who are trying to shut that down. You know, but definitely, you know, that allows us to have a voice, have a place at the table, and to keep in the debate. We have to stay in the debate. We can't just leave and say, well, you know, we're shut out.
Well, you have to know that you know and be convicted enough of what you believe in to help people get through and find the light. If you've been so encompassed by the darkness that you've accepted that is normal, then, you know, that's a tough way to go. And the only way is if you cannot communicate with them, then they're going to have to find out the hard way. I say often on this show that the law of gravity does exist. You know, they may say that it doesn't exist and really believe that until they fall off the roof and hit the ground. And the conservatives are sitting there saying, well, you know, I tried to keep you from having to go through that experience. But, you know, now that you're well aware that, that gravity does exist, maybe we can forward the conversation and talk about other issues so that we can get this country back on track.
Well, definitely, yeah. There's a lot of this school of hard knocks. You know, that is definitely part of the. It's going to be part of the process, and in no way am I saying that it's going to be easy. You know, that, you know, all you have to do is, you know, look at these stories and say, wow, you know, that's the solution. It's not the solution. Mm-hmm. Solution is a lot of hard knocks. You know, this is my stories aren't saying this is solution, but saying this is lighting the way to a solution.
Right. Well, here's some classic examples. I mean, we get it out of the theoretical, and that's part of the challenge that we have right now, the recognition and acknowledgement that a lot that the left has to offer is bathed in theory. They really do not have, as you say, and I've often said, I find that their arguments have the depth of a bumper sticker. And I want to enter into a conversation that is much more meaningful. It's like, look, you're a smart person. You've got a lot involved here. You just came out of college or whatever it is. You know, what is it? What part of the puzzle piece that is missing in the American fabric that, you know, that you need to apply so that advances, you know, our government and our culture?
Definitely, that's it.
I mean, that's what we'd hope for. John Horvath II is with us. He and Norman Fulkerson are presenting a new book, Lighting the Way, stories that show how our culture went wrong and how we can restore order. And I guess, you know, there's different ways in which we can exchange ideas. I love stories, you know, because they really bring to life, you know, life and how it matters here. And John does that in this new book, and we're going to talk more about it on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally at Heart and Body Extract? We've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
With uncertain times in the United States, it's only prudent to consider storing precious metals in a safe place outside our borders. At Miles Franklin, we have done just that for you. Partnered with the most respected storage company in the industry, Miles Franklin is proud to offer the only fully insured private safe deposit box program in North America, held in Vancouver and Toronto. Send us your previously purchased precious metals or have one of our brokers help you purchase something new. Questions? Please call one of our experienced brokers at 866-485-4346. Solid Foundational Storage, partnered with the most respected name in security, maintaining an A+ Better Business Bureau rating, and residing in Minnesota, the only state in America that regulates the precious metals industry, making doing business in precious metals with Miles Franklin the safest choice. Call us at 866-485-4346. Again, that's 866-485-4346. Miles Franklin Limited, a name you can trust.
If you like alkaline water, or know someone that does, you're going to love the Dillon Living Water Bottle. It creates alkaline water on the go, while reducing plastic waste and saving you money. Made with surgical-grade stainless steel, the Dillon Bottle increases the pH up to 9 to deliver both alkaline and antioxidant water anywhere you want it. Alkaline water is healthier, tastes better, and can even boost energy. The Dillon Bottle makes it easy and affordable to be healthy and achieve optimal hydration. Get your Dillon Bottle today at dyln.co. That's dyln.co.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-261-9818 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-261-9818. Again, 800-261-9818.
Tired of being censored by Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Patreon? Well, now you don't have to be. OneWay.com is the free speech and human-friendly social network built just for you. Stop feeding the beast. Every post you make on those evil, anti-human, anti-American perverted sites helps them destroy our families, our country, and our souls. Join OneWay today and take back your liberty. Your free speech alternative is waiting for you at OneWay.com. OneWay.com.
Right now, Bill Martinez live.
Oh, will we pray? Oh, will we pray? When the church was great. Oh, will we pray? 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 Oh, will we
amazing the things that happen when we pray. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. He's the author of the book Return to Order. The book has received 11 awards with over 315,000 copies in circulation. John Horvath II, he and his co-author, Mr. Fulkerson, Norman Fulkerson, have joined together to give us a new book, which we're excited to be talking about, Lighting the Way, Stories That Show How Our Culture Went Wrong and How We Can Restore Order. And, John, let's talk about these good and bad stories. Norman says you were able to use them very effectively to kind of give people a snapshot of where we are and where we're going and where we hope to end up.
Right, yeah, it was really great. When I wrote the book, Return to Order, there were a lot of principles involved, and as I traveled to promote the book, all of a sudden I see these principles jump out at me in events and restaurants and airports, and, you know, all of a sudden people were saying, well, you just had a Return to Order moment. And I said, yeah, I guess so.
Exactly.
And so I started collecting these Return to Order moments, and that's what this book is all about. It just, you know, it gives moments where, you know, you see things happen negatively and positively that tell a story and, you know, help us light the way to where we need to go.
You know, John, I've often used the analogy or the metaphor of returning to order. It happens every day in businesses across the country. You get businesses who have done very well. All of a sudden they find themselves, they're missing the mark. You know, their growth is just not where it has been. There's a breakdown in enthusiasm, the culture, it's there. And then it takes an outsider oftentimes to come in and ask that question. When was it going right for you? And invariably, it was, you know, several years earlier, in some cases, maybe decades, but right. Several years earlier. And acting CEO or the person in charge at that time will take the company back to that point when everything was going well to find out where they made the wrong turn. And, you know, the same thing happens. I mean, the return to order moments are those moments that we go back and we're looking at it. As opposed to a country, I mean, as opposed to a business, we're looking at now as a country, as the United States of America, that we love and we want to continue here. And we see, okay, this is perhaps where we lost our way. But this is a process when you're talking about 320 million people and political forces that abound, right?
Definitely. I think it's a very good analogy, you know, because it fits perfectly. You know, I saw, you know, the things I note in the book, for example, are things like, so excessive standardization in life, where everything's standardized, whether it be Wheat Thins or, you know, just hotels and things that dehumanize the experience, the community of our lives and how. And then the other part of the book says, well, no, there are things that that still survive of this. There are people who are making really excellent bourbons and beers and carrot cakes and hams and all sorts of things out there. You know, people who say, no, we need to get away from this mechanical way of living life and have a life that is more connected with family, faith, and community, which are our way to return to order.
Well, tell us some of the stories that you note in the book, John.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you your favorite story because you know that's always the general question they ask. But so I'll leave it open to you, and you tell me.
Well, just one. You know, where we don't want to go. There was a story talking about how some municipalities are forbidding sledding in the public parks. Because it's too dangerous, and how even some of them have gone to the point of bulldozing down hills so that they can't physically, you know, do that sledding. And, this is an observation. This is something that, you know, just really hit me when I saw a bunch of boys just really going at it, you know, sledding on a hill, unsupervised, and how they're having so much fun and how this was very formative for their way, you know, for their lives because they were dealing with small risks that will help them later to deal with big risks. So I wrote a story about this saying, well, you know, this is something that we don't want to do. But, you know, we want boys to be boys and girls to be girls. We don't want that. We don't want this politically correct, super safe way of looking at life that doesn't, that will not help that person in the final analysis.
Probably the same people that want to forbid sledding are the same people that give you performance trophies, right?
Yeah, exactly. Or they'll put them in front of extremely extremely violent video games, and say, well, this is safe.
Go figure, right? How does this make? I mean, we're a walking complex example of hypocrisy with some of these stories. So give me a good story.
The good stories, there's a whole series of stories about very. Let me see one here that's I'm looking at right here. My colleague Norman Fulkerson, he went on the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky, and he just tells amazing stories.
He got the lucky straw, huh?
Yeah, it was on assignment, so he had his duty, had to do his duty, and go there and test these things. But it was a very beautiful story of how all these things are so steeped in tradition. The people who work there, even the workers for three or four generations, and how they're striving for excellence really is something. It's an amazing thing to see and then say, well, this is where we need to go. This striving for excellence and intermingling that excellence with the traditions and the communities around them.
This is the thing that people need to pause for just a moment, because when you think about this grand land in which we live in and the people that are in it, the day-to-day duties, the jobs that they perform on behalf of all of us, and you think, well, so what's the story of bourbon? Well, if you get into the story and you realize the generations that are committed to producing the best bourbon around, it really... kind of elevates you and elevates your ambition for excellence, because you see, wow, if people who produce bourbon on our behalf are this concerned about it, how does that translate into my particular interest? It could be just producing hangers, coat hangers, something is so benign as you would think as a coat hanger, but yet the traditions that are wrapped in the stories that are involved in producing simple things, the coat hangers. But the thing is, whether it's coat hangers, bourbon, automobiles, whatever that comes out of this country, they're just great, excellent stories. And, people wonder why, for a while there was the shaming of America. You couldn't talk about its exceptionalism, right? But now more and more, people are going, that didn't work. We tried that for a while. But, the fact of the matter is we know the cream always rises. And no matter how much you want to badmouth this country, you can't help but run into stories, like you say, that Norman went on, and not be enlarged and blessed by that.
Oh, no, it's amazing. Yeah, you're just really inspired, and, you just see the devotion of these people and how these people are, very accessible. That you could just go up to, you could call them on the phone, you could just go there and visit. And, he was really, I know Norman really had a good time doing a lot of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And well, there are other stories too. That there's a whole section on heroes and mm-hmm. heroes in America, and not necessarily, but there's a bunch of them that are military heroes. They're just mm-hmm. amazing stories. But they the heroes of Shirley, the shuttle driver at LAX, or just other other figures that are just amazing figures, or a pilot on an airplane that just really did some excellent, did something really amazing,
mm-hmm.
Helping his crew, helping the crew,
exactly.
helping the plane out. I mean, these are just really interesting stories that show it's not over. There's still hope for America.
And I guess that's the bottom line, is that when you hear stories like this, it does fill you with hope to realize that not all is lost. And keep in mind, whatever the fake news is reporting, and some that is, I would say, anti-American, sadly, publications that exist in our very own country. And to what reason? I know I'm with you. I wonder the same thing. John Horvath II has been with us. Thank you. His book will be linked on our website.
If you want term life insurance, call Life Quotes. We guarantee you the lowest prices, or we will pay you $500. Plus, get up to $1 million in term life insurance with no medical exam. You do need term life insurance. Call Life Quotes now.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
When working at a growing business, you wear many hats. The new business hat. The buying toner for the copy machine hat. The sifting through tons of resumes hat. You can throw away that last hat thanks to Indeed.com. When posting your job, Indeed lets you add screener questions that give you a less time-consuming route to your short list of qualified candidates. So go ahead, dust off that extra long lunch hat. Hiring's better when you've got your short list. Save time on hiring when you post the job on Indeed. Get started today at Indeed.com/hire.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes. Reports are as many as 8 boys have now been brought out of that flooded cave in Thailand where they'd been stuck for about 16 days. 4 boys were brought out yesterday, and reports are 4 more were brought out today by divers, which would mean 4 more and their soccer coach are still inside. Sky News correspondent Sally Lockwood says getting the boys from inside to outside is no quick event.
It takes the rescue divers 11 hours in a round trip to reach the boys and get back out again. And that requires 3 canisters of air. So air canisters have to be placed strategically along the route for them to refuel, if you like, on the way to collect the boys and get back out again.
President Trump set to announce his Supreme Court nominee choice in an address to the nation tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Yes, there remains hope. Thank you for joining us 28 minutes before the top of the hour. David Drucker joins us now, senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner, also a CNN political analyst as well. David, good to have you with us. How are you doing?
I'm here.
Yes, you are here.
Thank you.
I know, hey, it's been a while since you and I have talked, so it's good to have you back, so I'm going to take advantage of it real quick. Of course, the buzz there on the Hill, everybody's talking Supreme Court nominee, right?
Yeah, that's the main topic until, I guess, 9 p.m. Eastern this evening when the president will make his pick known in a primetime announcement.
Well, you know, no big surprise here. He presented a list when he was candidate Trump of some 20-25 people that he thought would make great candidates for the Supreme Court. And he's been staying true to that, looking, you know, in terms of what he offered was originalists, you know, people that were going to support, you know, the interpretation, the strict interpretation of the Constitution, and getting away from what had been the trend, and that is a judicial activism.
Yeah, look, I think one of the things we've seen with Trump, with all of his judicial picks, because they've been stalking the lower courts with a lot of conservatives, is that he recognized coming out of the 16 election that one of the things that helped him win, and nobody really thought about this going in necessarily, although there was a lot of talk about the importance of the court picks, is how much those court picks helped reassure the notion of the Supreme Court pick that led to Gorsuch helped reassure skeptical Republicans that they should give President Trump their vote because his court pick would be better than Clinton's court pick.
Right.
And I think from that has flowed this list of conservatives that are far more conservative than Trump ever campaigned. And he recognizes that it helps hold the traditional Republican part of his coalition together. And that's why I think whoever he unveils tonight, you know, there's jockeying among fans of all four possible picks that we think it's been whittled down to. But I think any of the four would satisfy what the president needs from a political standpoint. And for conservatives who care about the makeup of the court, I think they'll be very happy regardless.
Well, and that's what the hope is that conservatives will rally behind, because any one of the four, from a conservative viewpoint, is pretty strong, and that they should be able to make that transition, you know, fairly quickly. Of course, the big issue, David, as you know, is the threat on Roe v. Wade, and you know, this seems to be the hot focus of Democrats, and their main pushback on this is that this threatens Roe v. Wade.
Well, Democrats are trying to make this about Roe v. Wade. And look, there's some credibility to the argument that if you end up with a Supreme Court that is decidedly conservative, not just with a swing vote like Kennedy, but where you have pretty much five philosophical conservatives on the bench, that if the right case made its way to the court, that they could overturn Roe. Mm-hmm. But where Democrats, I think, are going with this from a political standpoint is if you want to rally the support of the female vote, which by and large does not like the president, and if you want to put pressure on some Republican senators who are pro-choice or look askance at regulations on abortion, mm-hmm. like Collins from Maine and Murkowski from Alaska, then you make this about Roe. You don't make this about, you know, the old way of doing this, if you're, you know, a Democrat in the Senate, is to talk about right-wing extremism and out of the mainstream. And as you picked up here, and it's been pretty plain, they're not going with that this time. They're just basically saying that if you end up with with Trump's court pick from any of these four, then Roe is in danger. A woman's right to an abortion is in danger, and that's a strategy. And it's not a bad strategy, given that they don't have the numbers to stop
right.
Republicans in the Senate from approving Trump's pick as long as they stick together.
And for some of these, Democrats, Democratic senators, I guess there was some talk overnight that the Democrats would relinquish a couple of their seats in exchange for some sort of compromise. That's pretty extreme. But it just goes to show you, you know, the jockeying that takes place there on the Beltway, David, is that they're willing to give up seats over this as if they, you know, I guess they're in the position to be expendable, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, I don't know if they asked those red state Democratic incumbents if they're willing to give up their
exactly.
And look, you know, Democrats are in a position where Republicans were at points under the Obama mm-hmm. administration. They have a very active political base that does not like the president, and they're trying to balance the desire of their base with also their own, you know, very consistent and clear philosophical position on the left, but also the needs of some of their, you know, centrists or moderates or at least incumbents in states that do like the president and vote Republican in statewide elections. When we saw this with Republicans under Obama, now we're seeing it with Democrats under Trump.
Well, whether it was Obama or Donald Trump, I think many in America are still looking for the idea. What is the idea that's going to solve the problems, whether we're talking immigration? I mean, if it's just that, you know, you hate this, okay, fine. A lot of us hate certain aspects here. But what is the solution?
Well, look, this is an ongoing issue in American politics over the past, you know, 10 to 15 years, and maybe even a little bit longer than that. The weaker the political parties have become, the stronger, the most, and more, and more influential, the most committed voters in the two coalitions have become. And so there's really, you know, has been very little political reward for consensus solutions, even if they're center left or center right. The committed base voters in each party have demanded absolutism in many regards.
Right.
And the voters in the middle, or the soft partisans, they simply aren't influential enough, don't participate enough, aren't considered valuable enough to pay attention to over, you know, the voters that you know always show up.
Right.
And I think, you know, and people forget, politicians are can be very transactional. They do have a set of core principles and beliefs, but most of them like their job and want to keep their job. And if they thought they would be rewarded for consensus solutions, even ones with a bent, but, you know, that you know, were big tent solutions, they would support them more. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's hard to do because there's very little payoff and a lot of fear that they'll get punished in the next election.
David, shouldn't people, you know, hold to mind the reason that Roe v. Wade is subject to a possible change is because of the way the law was enacted, that it was enacted by activist judges, not by Congress, where it should have been.
Yeah, look, it's not a law. It's just a legal right.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, if we were all judicial philosophers, legal philosophers, you know, we would consider that. Maybe we'd consider the fact that if it can happen for a law, for a right that we like, it can happen for a right that we don't like. But that's not how people think.
Right.
And so that's why, and it's been a hot button issue ever since.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is why we need Congress to do their job. And again, we're reminded here clearly the reason that we're in this bucket of gum is because Congress abdicated their important responsibility. David Drucker, senior congressional correspondent with the Washington Examiner and CNN political analyst. David, as always, appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much for the time.
Anytime. Thank you.
All right. Take care. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 18 before the top of the hour. We've got more coming up. Stay here.
This report is brought to you by Orthodermatologics, the makers of Salik Brodalumab Injection. For over 25 years, Jay Nastasi searched for the right treatment for her plaque psoriasis, a chronic non-contagious skin disease that caused her embarrassment and forced her to wear clothing that exposed little skin, even during the summer.
After trying many treatments, Jane's dermatologist suggested she try Salik Brodalumab Injection, a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from injections or pills, systemic therapy, or phototherapy, treatment using ultraviolet light treatment, and who have tried other systemic therapy that didn't work or stopped working. It's not known whether Salik is safe and effective in children. Salik works differently than other psoriasis treatments by blocking a specific group of proteins at the site of inflammation. Patients often try a variety of treatments before finding one that works, or sometimes a treatment works for a while and then stops. Since being treated with Salik, Jane's skin is almost cleared.
I spent years uncomfortable in my own skin. Salik changed that for me. I hope others with this condition will talk to their doctor about available treatment options to find what works best for them.
Salik Brodalumab Injection is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who may benefit from injections, pills, systemic therapy, or phototherapy, and who have tried another systemic therapy that didn't work or stopped working. Do not take Salik if you are allergic to any of its ingredients. Tell your doctor if you have a history of suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, or mood problems, or if you start to have these, as suicidal thoughts and behavior have occurred in patients treated with Salik. Salik may lower your ability to fight infections and may increase your risk of infection. Before starting Salik, your doctor should test for tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or have symptoms of infection, such as fever, fatigue, cough, or any type of sores, or if you plan to receive or have recently received a vaccine. If you have Crohn's disease, do not use Salik as symptoms may worsen. Talk to your doctor about additional safety information and to see if Salik is an option for you. For full prescribing information, including medication guide, please visit www.salik.com or call Salik Solutions at 1-855-RX-SALIK, 1-855-797-4547, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Hey, everyone. Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original, most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live. Open the
back with the American 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bob Waliszewski joins us. Yes, he was, took a little bit of a sabbatical, but it's always good to have Robert with us, Director of Media and Culture, PluggedIn.com. Hey, Mr. Robert, welcome back, buddy. We missed you.
Hey, Bill. Yes, it's always good to be back on your show. It's always good to be, take a little vacation time, but it's always good to be back, too.
Did you get a chance to go to the Big Island and check out the volcano?
No, not this time. This time around, it was kind of adding a couple days to the 4th of July, and my wife and I headed up to Beaver Creek, Colorado.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
We're in our own backyard, if you will, just cooling off, and it was just a little hiking, took the dog up, and, it was kind of fun.
A little bit of a staycation, that's always good.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Hey, those Salem moments are important. And the daughter unit doing okay on the Big Island with all the volcanic activity?
Very well, and tourism is pretty good for them. And of course,
holding steady, huh?
Wow. Industry, good. So, for at least for the immediate future, they're staying busy. So,
well, good. Yeah, we're we were originally planning on going in November. I think we put it off till April. We're still planning on taking her a care package, so we got to make sure.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to make sure that she's got, whatever she needs, we're going to bring it with us to, that way, she'll receive us.
It's usually like a Chipotle, something that she can't, they don't have a Chipotle. Or
yeah, right.
So.
Yeah.
Now, that's a great big advertising for all our listeners who go, oh, wow, listen, no. It's just that there are just some things that you get over there and you just get a little bit of a craving for, and you're like, oh, if someone would just bring me a Chipotle,
Yeah, right. Exactly. Now, all of a sudden, your daughter's going to get messages from the port. Hey, we got cases of Chipotle here coming from the homeland. Bill and Bob, we're talking about how you needed Chipotle, so we got you covered for the next 20 years. Hope that's okay. Hey, let's talk movies. The Ant-Man, Wasp, number one. Incredibles 2, 2. Jurassic World is still number 3. I mean, the big numbers that Incredibles 2. Amazing what a family-friendly movie will do. Over 500 million domestically. And then, of course, the overseas numbers are just off the charts as well. Jurassic, in their third week is a third of a billion. I mean, they're having fun.
And globally, I believe they hit it this last weekend because they were knocking at the door with 900 million and some change before this weekend. So, there's something about in the global market. big dinosaurs with human beings running like crazy to save their lives. You know, that it translates well in every language, I guess.
Well, some of these markets are excited that, you know, the voice kind of syncs up with the animals a little bit better than they used to, I guess.
Right? Yeah.
I miss those movies.
The dinosaur's dialogue isn't very extensive. A roar here and a growl here. Yeah, otherwise, yeah. It was pretty.
Don't you miss those old Japanese, you know, those old, you know, scary monster movies where they were just so out of sync?
They got little miniatures. We'll start with Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Get us back on track here.
I think this is like number 18, 19. I think it's 19 in the Marvel Universe as far as films. And let's just put it this way. Disney has got a cash cow. They just keep milking it every, you know, they started in this year with Black Panther in February, and it made a boatload of money. And then come May, they put out Avengers Infinity War, and it made a boatload of money, speaking of the billion-dollar club.
Right.
This one, Ant-Man, is a little bit, quite a bit less, actually, as far as an opening. But, you know, you can't fault them for $76 million. Now, personally, of the two that I've already mentioned, or the three, if you count Ant-Man, I like Ant-Man the best. It was more humorous. It had better family messages. I think it was a better written, tighter scripted movie. For instance, in Avengers Infinity War, and I'm sure I've said this to you, Bill, a few times. I can't remember who I've said it to, but sometimes this one especially just seemed to run off the rails for me with long, long fight scenes. You know? Mm-hmm. So instead of giving us more character development, or instead of, you know, allowing us to have a little bit deeper plot, they just have the bad guy and the good guy fight for 20 minutes, and it's like, okay, well, now we got 20 minutes of a film taken care of. It's
right,
a fight
exactly.
scene.
Right.
And it's like, in Ant-Man and the Wasp, they just didn't do that. Yeah, there's fight scenes, but they're more brief, and that's the way I think they should be.
Right.
But anyways, we met Scott Lang in the first Ant-Man movie. By the way, we gave that one a 3 out of 5, not a bad score. This time he is under house arrest, and he's grappling with the consequences of his past actions. He has a great relationship with his beloved daughter. He's living with her in this house arrest home. They get along well. It looks nice. It's just one of those family messages that it's like, oh, that's a dad and daughter that get along very well. You know, we all could learn a little bit from that. But the reason why Scott can shrink down to a microbe size, or actually expand to a mountain size, is that he has this super suit that was created by a scientist named Dr. Hank Pym. His daughter Hope is the Wasp, so she can do that as well. She can shrink. Now he wants to stay at home. He's only a few days from getting freedom and getting out of his house arrest situation, but they have a urgent Ant-Man worthy mission that requires his attention. So he's caught in the middle. What should he do? You know, he needs to fight for justice in the America way, but at the same time, 2 more days and he gets freedom. So he's trying to figure that out. We gave this one a 3.5 out of 5. As I mentioned, I like it. There's a lot of heroism as well as the family messages. The only ants at a picnic annoyance in this film was a little bit of harsh language, not pervasive, pretty typical for a superhero movie. But a 3.5 is our way of telling people that that we think it has some possibilities. It's not a slam dunk, but it has some possibilities.
Right. And they just it is amazing. I mean, you know, that what they continue to throw upon the culture and our families, that they just have to have language in there, like as if it's acceptable. I mean, what happened to a culture that says, look at, you know, we expect better, and the language is, you know, we don't need the shock of language anymore.
Which leads us to number two, The Incredibles, because even though we gave this one a 4 out of 5, even a better score, and I like it, I will say I was a bit disappointed with Pixar. The first time that I remember a Pixar film putting in some loud, mild profanities for the characters to say. Now, mild profanities aren't deal breakers for adults. I get that. Teens, well, and then there's a big audience for teens for Incredibles 2, and there's a big audience for adults for Incredibles 2. But let's face the fact. Pixar is also gearing toward, this is a film you can load the minivan and take the youngest of kids to go see.
Right.
And I just was shaking my head thinking, do we need a, you know, the milder profanities in there? I was disappointed. And even before I had seen the film, because I was on vacation for this one, mm-hmm. and I was a little late to the party, I had been on Facebook and I had read someone who I really respect had said, you know, hey, went to see The Incredibles with my family, really disappointed with the language in this one. So I was like, oh, what's this about?
Yeah.
And now I know exactly what they're talking about.
Well, you know, you would think, you know, they might humor us, probably not, but, you know, it's like, hey, why don't you run a test with the language and without the language and see
exactly.
what happens, you know?
An A-B test.
Yes.
What do the people say they would prefer, you know?
Right.
Take the moms and dads, you know, and say, you know, does it matter to you or do you care? What's your preference here?
Mm.
I do think, given the preference, most parents would say, hey, it's not necessary. It doesn't add anything.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, because many times, you know, when they go for effect, I mean, we know with comedians, you can always tell when they're panicking and they're losing confidence, because then they use the crutch. They bring out, you know, the language.
Sleazy.
Yeah, and you go.
I always think it's easier to write a sleazy joke and
right.
get a laugh than it is to do an I Love Lucy moment,
mm-hmm.
you know, or a Red Skelton
exactly.
moment, where it's sharp, it's witty, and it's truly funny, you know. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even when you break it down, though, Bob, it's not funny. I mean, I've been caught in some of these things, and the language comes out, and the audience is laughing, and I go, I don't get it.
Yeah.
That's not funny. But,
yeah.
you know, and I don't know if it's just that the audience figures, okay, we just paid $100, you know, to sit here and watch this comedian, so we just have to, you know, I guess we're here to laugh, so let's laugh. You know, we're just going to be like a bunch of seals in the audience. But, you know, it's like, when it doesn't work. It's just not funny. But they panic, and the people will laugh. And I don't know if it's just their way of, you know, supporting them, knowing that they're, you know, on the edge of crashing or something, and they figure, okay, we're going to, you know, buttress them up or something. But I don't get it.
What do we have time-wise? Probably about a minute.
About 30 seconds.
Okay.
Maybe 40.
Well, number 9 on this list is Won't You Be My Neighbor, a film.
Yes.
For our listeners who are looking for something a little out of the ordinary, the documentary uh-huh. about Fred Rogers, a film that I would give a 4. To me, it was just an inspiring film about an inspiring man, and I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Uncle Drew came in at number 6, Avoid the Head at All Costs, poorly
yes.
written film. It wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it was, I give it a 2.5. It really wasn't. It wasn't a good film, and it wasn't a very family-friendly film.
Well, we got to leave it right there, and we'll call it a wrap as it stands. Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Robert. Take care, buddy.
You bet.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad. Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Get the ultimate